The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening to us again on your Saturday morning from 9 to 10. We are happy you listen, and thank you for that. Any and all who do, if you're new, welcome, and keep listening, all. So, Julie, how are you doing? I hope you had a good week.
I'm doing just fine, thank you. Having a good week, yes, a busy week, as I know you are. And I want to ask you, I'm dying to know, how everything went last night, because we're recording on Thursday, which means Wednesday night was your big night when you received the Athena Award at the Greater Scranton Chamber of Commerce. And I know that was a lovely dinner, and I'm sure that you gave a speech. So I want to hear all about this. How did it go?
Well, yes, thank you. Thank you for remembering, Julie. I'm happy to talk about myself in any way and be, because you know my old line, my father said, you blow your own horn, no one's going to do it for you. But it's not like I go around talking about an award, but I will tell you, since you asked, and because you mentioned it off air that you wanted to bring it up before asking, and I thank you for your kindness and your hesitation until I said, yeah, okay. But I think it's worthy of the conversation because, as I said in my speech, 11 people prior to me have won the Athena Award. Mm-hmm. It is an international award, and it is given by most chambers of commerce are the ones who award this across the world. And depending on who, not everyone does it, but it is a world type event. So that in and of itself is wonderful. I love that it's awarded to women who have leadership, community service, run their business, do what they have to do as women, and they're given an award for that. And not that women or anyone needs an award to prove your worth. But it sure is nice when you get it, when your work is recognized. I always tell people it's not like you set out to win awards, but if an award is up and you qualify, then anyone should be happy that they get it and feel special because it was given to you. As long as it's within the parameters of the necessary guidelines, then go ahead and do it, because like I said, as Jim Cadden said, blow your own horn, no one will do it for you. I just repeated myself, but that was on purpose. So yes, it was. I was the first speaker, the first awardee given, yes, after Bob Durkin, who's president of the chamber, spoke with attorney Marianne Gilmartin, who is the chairman of the board. And they do a video. They did a video, which I had to go down and tape a couple weeks back. And then they have Donna Barbetti and Michael Barbetti are the sponsors of the award. So they speak. Well, Donna speaks. And so Donna went up after the video, I think she spoke and then the video or the videos, I can't even remember. And then they call me up to accept the award. And it was, I love to speak in public. I do get nervous doing it. But if I don't feel nervous, like butterflies, then that means I'm taking myself far too seriously. So I like that I get nervous about things because I just want to do a good job. And I didn't have a lot to say because the video kind of told a lot of it. But I, you know, thanked all of my family. Both of my sons were home. My son, Sean, was in since Tuesday night. Katie, unfortunately, my daughter-in-law, could not make it. But Sean was here, and Tommy and Tom's partner, Tom, and Deb Peterson and Abby Rafalco McNulty and Doug Smith and Dave Price. And then, of course, the Barbettis and Meyer, who was right there by my side. And they were all there. And we had a great table and a lot of fun. There were about 520 people or so. So it was a packed house at the Scranton Cultural Center. Metz Catering did the did the catering, Metz Corporation, and they did a wonderful job. The people were great. The staff were wonderful. They took such care of everybody. I don't like to eat, Julie, before I speak because I just get nervous. So big shout out to Kathy who came over. They had gluten-free pasta, and they did it the right way. They didn't prepare it in advance. They prepared it at the request of whomever would order it. And so since Sean and I are both gluten-free, they did that, and it was delicious. I had two pieces of tenderloin and some spaghetti, some type of pasta, which was it was absolutely delicious. I didn't eat much because I don't these days, but that being said, everything was great, and I was happy after I finished everything that I could sit and relax. So I have to say that we had a lot of fun, saw a lot of people, as well, I'm going to bring up to Kelly Laird, Kelly Doherty Laird, who will come on next for next two segments from now from Fidelity. I'm going to ask her to say a little bit about Fidelity's role there, because they always have a major role as a sponsor. And you know, let's face it, sponsorships for the Chamber of Commerce are great in many, because why wouldn't you as a business want to support your chamber? So it makes sense, and really it was very well represented business community, as it would be. You can be there if you're not a member. It's a difference in price, but you know, most people are members and, or their organization. And so it was just a lovely, lovely time. I thanked my family, talked a little bit about the ladies who won, all 11 of them, and I'd like to mention them now. So it was the very first one, attorney Melinda Gallardi, Rose Broderick, Joanne Arduino, Paula Rashad McCary, Liz Randall, Nada Gilmartin, attorney Marion Munley, Maria Montoro Edwards, Laura Duchessi, Deb Kosofsky, and Dr. Linda Thomas. They were all of the winners, and that. I said, can you imagine being, I didn't say this, I wanted to, I just said I'm just happy to be part of them. Like, can you imagine being called to sit and join these ladies at a table that you're now a member of, and all of these 11 women are ahead of you and have done the work that they've needed to do to make sure that, you know, they fit the criterion set forth for this award, and they are terrific ladies who do wonderful work in their business, in this community, and just, It's just amazing. So I am thrilled and privileged to be part of these women. So I just talked about that I'm happy to be number 12 in our region, and delighted to do it. And I was thrilled, Julie, because my favorites, my Howard Gardner, they took a table, so a lot of my directors from Howard Gardner Multiple Intelligence School were there. They took an ad out, and they were there in force, you know, led by Sam Sakachi, the board, and Joe Ross as our president and CEO. And I was just so happy to see all of them there and be part. It just made me, my heart sing when people come out and support you like that. But a whole table, a whole group of them, a group of board members and some of the staff that Kathy Avshinsky and Tria McHenry and Joe Ross, and then the rest were board members. It was so good to see them. I was honored and tickled. And then Joe called me today just to congratulate me again. And that's the kind of board that you want to be on, Julie. Those are people who support you and show up and do what they're supposed to do. So big shout out to them. I love serving on that board, and I love all of them. They're wonderful. So that happened, and I thank them. And like I said, I didn't get to say, but I'm always one for a quote, and I didn't get to finish it because I sort of was somewhat played off. I say that, but really I think it's because they thought I was finished when I said thank you to that board, is my favorite Abraham Lincoln. I'm going to tell Kelly when she comes on, I'm going to say it to her too so she can hear it, because I didn't get to do that. But Abraham Lincoln's quote, whatever you are, be a good one. And I just love that, Jewel. I just think it's great. And I think that's so important. It doesn't matter what the hell you are, what the hell you do, just do it, be a good one at whatever it is.
That's right.
So I threw the hell in there because it kind of emphasized it a little more. Did you get that, Jewel?
Oh, yeah, I got it. I got it.
H-E-double toothpicks. We're allowed to say that. We're allowed to say it. But anyway, yeah, it was a great night, Julie. I was thrilled to be there and to participate, and just, you kind of feel like Cinderella. You know, it was a great night.
That's wonderful. Congratulations. So again. And
thank you.
So happy
thank
for you,
you.
And happy to hear all the people that came out to support you, and happy to hear that you were able to acknowledge some of the people that you've mentored over the years and supported too. So it sounds like it was just overall a beautiful night.
Yes.
And that's what
was.
We want.
It was a great time. And the chamber staff, they did a great job, Julie, doing what they had to do to get this up and running. And it's not easy to do these things. I said in my speech that it's not like little fairies come in and wave their wand and it's done. It takes a lot of work and coordination for anything.
Right.
So, and I forget when is our cutoff, Joel? What time were we, I forgot what time you told me. What was it?
We have three more minutes. You have three more minutes.
I know, okay, I'm just making sure. I knew it was good, because sometimes I go, did she say 3:25? Miss Producer Extraordinaire just tells me, and I usually remember, but in my blabbing on about myself, I neglected to remember, so I'm sorry about that. But anyway,
that's
Julie,
okay.
and lots of people, Nibbles and Bits was there as one, because they did a lot of milestone anniversaries for businesses, but Everything Natural won the Small Business of the Year award, and they are wonderful. I love their stuff, and they purchased it from Barry Kaplan, who owned it for years and years and years,
sure.
and his wife.
Yep.
And nice young couple, and I love that store, and I love what they do. And they have a lot of gluten-free stuff, which is great for me. And the Best League of Hospitality won the Business of the Year, and John Vasiliga spoke.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so it was, yeah, it was great. It was a really good businesses. And then Chop Out Hunger won the People's Choice, and so that was cool too. So we were talking off air. That's one organization I have to find out a little bit more about. We're going to have them on the show, Julie, because I think it's a wonderful thing. I just didn't know anything about it. So happy
I
to
don't
do
either.
That.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really, it was good. Rob Letiri was there. Jake Stevens was there. Both of them taking photographs.
Wonderful.
It was set up lovely, the setup and the way everybody, there was like a step and repeat, beautiful, beautifully done. And it was just nice for photos and all of that. It was all the way around, it was good weather, and it was just a nice night out. So I want to give credit to the Chamber of Commerce for everything they do. And again, that's the 157th annual dinner. So that's a pretty impressive number. So
it is.
Hats off to Mari and Christine and Bob and everyone else who did the work. Tina, there's a lot that goes on, and it takes a village. So congrats to you guys. And that's all I have to say on that. So we're going to take a break. I know, here we go. We just flipped over. Joel, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show, and I am Laurie Cadden. I am the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business, and with me is the lovely Julie D. Immel of Julie D. Immel Communications. And Julie, please let everybody know your business, please. Your business is business. Go ahead.
Thank you, Laurie. I specialize in public relations and marketing. To learn more about how I can help you promote your business or nonprofit, just visit my website, juliedimmel.com.
Thank you, Joel. And we decided we're going to talk about today, ladies and gentlemen. It's a topic that is very near and dear to Miss Julie D. Immel. It is not as near and dear to me, although the older I get, the more I am interested, but I'm only interested in it occasionally, and I'm not I don't go out of my way, but I do think about it this sometimes, and I do like it, but it's not something I crave, and we're talking about chocolate. So Julie is a chocolate lover, and Laurie is a vanilla lover and a red licorice lover versus a piece of chocolate. That being said, like I did say, the older I get, I like it more, and I do love like a chocolate-covered pretzel, chocolate-covered marshmallow, peanut butter, cherries, those kind of things. But chocolate by itself, like just a piece of chocolate, I have absolutely zero. I don't have any interest in that at all. Has to have something in it, or I'll just pass it up. Especially if it is, and I only like milk. I don't love dark, although occasionally I would eat some of it, like maybe in a mint, like a York peppermint patty or something. That's probably not even real chocolate. But anyway, it's all good. So Julie was talking about the price of a bag of chocolate chips and stuff, which is ridiculous now. And I know that candy is more expensive. Easter is coming. So I don't know if there's sales going on. I don't know any of that. I don't know what Cadbury eggs are going for. They are one thing that I do love, Julie, the little mini eggs. I love, love, love them. Not the ones that are covered in chocolate. It's the yolky kind of eggy in the middle. I don't like those, but I do like the mini eggs. And I know, like, stores. Like, I'm sure, you know, Gertrude Hawk and Dunmore Candy Kitchen and Nibbles and Bits, like all of these places, they have to feel it, and there's nothing else they can do but raise their prices, because cocoa and all that stuff has gone up constantly. I remember when, you know, I remember when it was like dollars and dollars less a pound, and I think this year, I think it was like almost $22 a pound at Christmas.
Yeah, it's so getting crazy. I went to get a bag of chocolate chips, and it was $7.99 for a bag of Ghirardelli chocolate chips. And I think that, I know it's Ghirardelli, so it's a little bit higher end, but it's nothing exotic. Come on. I think that's outrageous. And I, you know, so I passed on it. I wanted to make chocolate chip cookies this week just because I kind of have a hankering for them, but I'm like, well, I'm not going to do it. I think we're going to be a little more judicious with our baking. But for Easter, one thing that's great is we always make chocolate egg cakes. And so
yes,
anytime
I remember
you're making
those.
Something at home, yeah, you've seen those. Anytime you're making something at home, it's going to be a little more cost effective than if you buy it. Supplement what we buy with our chocolate egg cakes, and maybe we'll do some other things. But I almost fell over. I really had sticker shock, and I know everybody is concerned about gas prices right now. And because I'm working from home so much, it's the cost of chocolate that's got me, not the cost of gas right now. It's like that tells you a little bit about me, I suppose. But yeah, I'm hoping that all of this comes down soon, because not my chocolate. It's so important. But
Julie, if by comparison, what do you last remember spending on a bag of Ghirardelli chocolate chips?
You know what? I feel like they were $4.29 the last time I bought them. I feel like it was in that area. Maybe I'm wrong.
And
maybe
now they're double
$5. It feels that way. I'm not sure exactly, but they definitely weren't $7.99. I could tell you that. That is high.
Oh my God!
And my mother prefers Goutard, which is another level up. It is a gourmet chocolate. The chips are delightful. I don't have to have those. I really do like the Ghirardelli. But those are even more expensive. They're in the $9 range for, you know, a bag to make a batch of cookies. Right?
Wow.
I know. I could just imagine what your face is looking like right now. I think that's a little bit crazy.
I mean, would, you know, and because I don't know anything about the...
You don't know what, Laura?
I don't know.
Hello?
What... I don't... Am I there?
You're cutting sure. out a bit. Yep,
that's
I thought
weird.
I
can
thought
you hear
we
me
lost
okay?
you.
Yeah, no, you didn't lose me. But I find that the I don't pay attention because I do buy the Ghirardelli, the little mini chips, and I always have
also
them around.
Yeah,
so I don't, but you know what we did? Tommy made some chocolate chip cookies last week, and Tommy said, Mom, I don't want to use, I said, Tommy, we have two bars of chocolate in the cabinet, in the pantry. Why don't you just cut, and I prefer to have like chunks of chocolate than the little mini, than any of them. I just think that looks prettier, and I like the way it tastes. So he just
okay.
cut up a chocolate bar that we had a baking, you know, and they were Ghirardelli or a Wegmans brand. I forget which one he got. But anyway, they were delicious, but I didn't even pay attention because we had this stuff in-house. So I can't tell you when I last bought anything like that.
Well, savor it.
Wow.
Savor it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And chocolate is our favorite, you know, and you have to have it for Easter. You must.
Absolutely.
You must
absolutely
consume some chocolate. Yeah, unless you're allergic, of course. But so it'll be interesting to see how people cope with that this year. I think when things get like this, you do have to get a little creative. And so I'm expecting
yes.
people will do that, maybe supplement with some. We always had in our – let's talk about Easter baskets. Like, when we were kids, it wasn't just candy because my parents didn't want us to be on a sugar high all day. And you know, when you give a kid a basket full of candy first thing in the morning, they're all going to eat it. Like, you cannot give it to them and then say, oh, don't eat it. Like, that's not going to fly. So they tried to balance it out. And I always got like little things like nail polish and little notebooks and journals and fancy pens because that was, you know, that's still my jam.
Yeah,
lip gloss and maybe a little toy, bubbles. We always got bubbles. I think it's nice to supplement with little things. It'd be like stocking stuffers only for spring. Maybe I got some hair barrettes and stuff. Yeah, cute things like that.
I always did the same. I don't remember. I think my mother did simple things like that, too, that it wasn't all chocolate. But I with my children, I always, especially when they were younger, they always got a stuffed bunny, some kind of a different bunny every year.
Yeah.
And it was in the basket with a couple, like Sean loved Matchbox toys and Tommy loved to cook and do different things. So whatever they liked, coloring books, paints, I always try to, whatever their thing was, they got in the basket. But there always was candy. And it was always, I always used to like to get them one of the molds, the solid chocolate molds from wherever. But I always got whatever they were, you know, whatever there was their jam. You know, like Tommy played the piano. So I remember one year I bought him this beautiful piano, this chocolate piano. And Sean loved baseball, so I got him baseballs and bats and gloves and stuff. But I love to this day, I always go, usually the Saturday before Easter, I go to my runaround chocolate places, and I look for those molds, and I still give them a mold that, you know, signifies who they are. To this day, so they could take a chunk, and then I always get them their favorite candies at their favorite candy stores because they love certain ones, and that's what I do. This year, I'll have to go a little bit earlier for Sean, and Tommy won't even be here, so he'll just have to get it when he gets back, unless I get there beforehand. Maybe I can go on Wednesday, but we're going to see Sean. Tommy's going to Florida, but to visit his grandparents for Easter, but Meyer and I are going to Beacon, and we're going to have brunch with Katie and Sean on the day before Easter because they'll go with Katie's parents the next day. And then I don't know what Meyer and I are doing. It's going to be quiet around my house, so I'll figure it out. But right now, that's our plan for the day before, and so I always try to, you know, get some of the candy. I don't put it in baskets anymore, but I do get them boxes of candy with bows and that's what they get. And I always have to have a mold. It's always so much fun to look, oh, what is this? What is that? Like even for Christmas, Tommy gave me a high heel, like a stiletto, a chocolate stiletto in my Christmas basket or my Christmas stocking. It was adorable. So, yeah, but that piano that I got him 1 year, Julie, it was beautiful. It was so, you could see the keys. I mean, it was really, I think I got it at Dunmore Candy Kitchen. It was gorgeous. But it's just
incredible chocolatiers here locally.
Yes, we do. We are very blessed with that. And as a matter of fact, when I go to Beacon, they have a marshmallow store there. It's called Hudson Valley Marshmallow Company. And they make their own marshmallows. They have gluten-free crackers, graham crackers, and then they have all different flavor marshmallows, and you can buy bags of them that have, they're cubed like an ice cube, and they're delicious. So tasty. And so if you get a hot chocolate, which they sell as well, they'll take the cube out of, like, they have jars, big clear jars with all the different flavors, and they'll take like tongs and put it in your hot chocolate, whichever flavor you want, marshmallow cube to, they put it in like they're making a drink with ice. It's really cool. And so I'll pick up some marshmallow while I'm there because that's really my all-time favorite. And the other day, well, actually twice in the last week, we went down to Jitty Joe's to get ice cream. And they're moving from the location they are on now in Burney Avenue. They're moving from what they hear, from what the kids heard when they were there. They're moving to the shopping development where Walmart is in Taylor. So I guess that's where they're going to be going eventually. I'm not sure when they're going, but that's what we hear. Okay. And I get a vanilla soft serve, Jewel, with hot fudge and marshmallow sauce. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it.
Yum.
And it was delicious. It was
delicious.
Yeah, first sign of spring. My tulips are popping. My daylilies are coming up along my driveway, and everything is bopping around. I don't see any daffodils yet, though. I guess I got to look a little more. But anyway, yeah, so you got to think ice cream, Ben. So eat your ice cream. Go support your local ice cream places and Rita's or wherever you like to go and get your ice cream, your water ice, your custards. Go and do it. And buy up for Easter, like Julie said. You know, it is Easter. You got to do it, and you have to have chocolate. It's sacrilege not to. So anyway, Jewel, we're gonna take our break, and we're going to have the lovely, as we said earlier, Kelly Doherty Laird on next, and we will be right back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show, and I am Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And with me is the lovely Julie D. Immel of Julie D. Immel Communications. And, Jewel, what can you do for these wonderful people who listen?
Thank you so much, Laurie. I can help them with their marketing and public relations projects. Please visit my website to learn more, juliedimmel.com.
Thank you. And with us is the other lovely woman of the afternoon, Miss Kelly Doherty Laird, who is with Fidelity Bank. Kelly is a rising star, young lady in the world of banking. She was just recently promoted, and she's going to tell you her exact title in 1 minute. But we want to thank Fidelity, as always, for sponsoring the show year in and year out, and we thank you, and we work with you guys so well, and I love the partnership, and I love dealing with all of you guys. And Kelly, tell everybody about your promotion, honey.
Yes, thank you, Laurie. I'm so happy to be here. I am the Assistant Vice President and Branch Business Lending Advisor at Fidelity Bank. So my role is to basically work with local businesses, helping them access financing to grow, whether they're just getting started or expanding. And I work in all 21 branches with our managers in the smaller business segment and then also in the business banking segment. So I'm kind of all over the place, but it keeps it exciting.
Yeah, keeps you out of trouble, keeps it exciting. But Kelly, we want to talk about that. We're taping as we always do on Thursday. Well, we mostly do, but we're taping on Thursday, the 26th. It'll air the 28th. But we're talking. Last night we had the 157th annual Chamber of Commerce annual dinner, and Fidelity Bank, as I think you guys win this every year, but it is the Chairman's Cup for new business and to the Chamber. And because they've been doing it, I think Marianne said 25 years or so, where they have sort of like a contest, which I used to do it years ago myself, mm-hmm. Kelly, and I loved it. But they used to do calling of all these businesses to join the Chamber if they weren't members and offer them a good rate and what they had to offer and what your perks would be. And Fidelity Bank came in first place with how many new members did you get for the Chamber, the group of you guys, Kel?
The group of us got 27. Individually, I brought in 19.
Yay!
Yeah,
there you go.
So very
so
excited.
Kelly got a big mention from Bob Durkin, the president of the Chamber, and Dan, when he got up to present the award that you guys sponsor, he... I guess for the Business of the Year, the Sage Business of the Year Award that Fidelity sponsors, and Dan got up to talk about was Vasiliga Hospitality. Mm-hmm. He mentioned he was so proud of all of his team for winning that award, and year after year, it happens. And I don't know how many teams participate. Kelly, do they still do like the you get together and call, or is it just
yes.
is it just groups and you do it on your own?
No, they still do the get-together and call. They normally do 2 days structured at the Chamber, and we all go there, and it's really a great experience the way they do it. When you get a member, you ring a bell, and they bring over balloons, and everyone makes a big deal about it until the next person gets a new member.
Uh-huh.
So it makes it a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it always was a good time. And you could go with a group or individual, and you do your best to bring in business
yes.
for them, and it is fun, and that's a great honor. So congratulations to your bank and to you for leading the show on that one. And what else, Kelly? I want to just congratulate the bank in general, because as always, was great representation there last night for your bank. A lot. How many of you guys were there?
We had 15.
Yeah, so a lot of people, and it's always good.
Yes.
So. Thank you to Fidelity Bank, and congratulations. And Kelly, let's talk a little bit about some business lending that you do now. And I guess the branch level, they do these type of loans, which I didn't mm-hmm. realize happened, because when I was there, we did not do any type of business lending. But they are now, and you're leading that role from going around and doing what you do, helping with the branches, meet goals, and help and try to raise the business level there. Tell everybody what that entails, and how complicated or not for you is it, Kelly? I know for you it's not, but to get people to buy into this and to understand, who necessarily may not be natural born salespeople, it could be a little tough to some people. So how do you make that happen?
Well, truthfully, I think Fidelity is very proud that we're a very relationship focused bank. So really, it's about taking the time for anybody who's trying to work with a business is to understand what they do and then figure out how we can help, whether that's lending, whether that's merchant services, whether it's different types of deposits or savings accounts. So we just want to know that we can fit their needs and goals. So kind of just, we do a lot of sales training here. We do a lot of relationship training and relationship building, obviously the networking and being a pillar in the community and just getting out there and being able to help the people that are in our community and that we can give back to.
Yeah. Well, that's important, and you know that's what Fidelity does well. So tell, how does one, talk a little bit about what someone who, maybe they don't know they need help, Kelly, or maybe they don't know they need the extra finances available to do things. How do you get people to understand that, hey, if you're looking, or you may not be looking at it this way, but here's some way we can help. Do people, A, do they receive it well, and B, what do you look for to tell a client that this is something they might want to take advantage of?
Yes. So it's a lot of conversation. Like you said, a lot of people might not have done lending in the past, so it's sometimes their first time going through the process, or if they're a startup. So we basically just try to help guide them through everything. We'll review their business plans or their projections, kind of look at their current cash flow and figure out what the right way for them to be successful is. And while we are salespeople, selling isn't our primary focus. We just want to make sure that they're built to succeed. So I think it comes across very well, because it's not like we're just trying to hit numbers and do all of these things. We're just really trying to help them be the most successful business they could be.
So when you do you look for that in a person, or look at someone's portfolio and say, you know, this might be someone we should talk to because they might be doing this? Or does it most of the time people want to talk to the bank because they feel they have a need and they think their business can support it and they go in and talk to you? Or is it a little bit of both?
It's a little bit of both for sure. I mean, we do help a lot of small businesses that are startups, which I think is something we pride ourselves on. So we do a lot of like small business association loans. We partner with the SBDC at the University of Scranton, and then they're also down in Lehigh and Wilkes. So we work with them frequently. So obviously the people who are trying to start up a new business, we're working with them. They kind of know that they need to come to a bank to get that financing. But then, yeah, we're reviewing ports all the time, trying to figure out if we can somehow offer things to other businesses, whether it's they need to buy new equipment and maybe they want to pay out of pocket, but it's going to hurt their cash flow. Well, we can do a financing for it. Or maybe a line of credit would be more appropriate for them, just for if something comes up. So we kind of work through both avenues.
And Kelly, with business lending, are there different levels for, say, an equipment loan versus something else someone needs? Or is it pretty much industry standard that you can get a loan up to so much, depending on what your income can tolerate, for the payback? Or are they different? Somehow equipment lending for me is ringing a bell and something a little bit different, but maybe I had a dream about that or something. I don't know. What is the
no,
deal
it's,
with
it's
that?
Kind of industry standard. No, it's definitely kind of industry standard. You want to make sure that the business can cash flow and actually financially support the deal. Obviously, collateral is great. So when you do a equipment loan or a home purchase, like, you have that collateral as a fallback, but you don't ever want to resort to that. You want to make sure that they have the financial stability to pay it back first.
Yes, so you can use equipment as collateral, right?
Yes. Just like you would do most equipment actually is titled. So it's kind of like a vehicle purchase.
Yeah, like a car or anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, I think that's cool. But some people may not need equipment in that sense, and so that's not what they're looking for. But I think it's really cool to how about when you say you work with small business and the University of Scranton, how do they come to you with someone who may have gone to them to go over to start, you know, how they have all those seminars and informational sessions on starting a new business and what you would need and the money that you would need? Is that how you get the lending from them, by collaborating with them? Is they will say, hey, we had Cindy Lou Who came in and she wants to start a business and she's, you know, we talked to her about financing and here's what we're looking at. Can you help? Or is it just, do they come to you first? Or how does that usually work?
I would say, so the FBDC does have a list of lenders that they recommend. We are on the list, but we are not the main one. I would say a lot of people, we probably refer to the SBDC. People all the time come in and say, like, I want to start a business and this is what I want to do, but they have no idea where to start. And that's where the SBDC comes in and will help them put together projections, put together a business plan, like focus on the fundamentals, making sure they have a solid plan before asking for financing so that they know exactly what they need to do moving forward.
So what else should anyone else know about the business lending? Let's say this, as we said earlier, you can go right into any branch, right, to discuss this?
Yes.
Or is that the best thing to do first? Okay.
Yes,
all right.
Absolutely.
And then depending on what it is, then go ahead, honey.
No, go ahead. You're going to say the same thing I was.
I was just going to. What? If it gets a certain level, it goes to a commercial lender, right?
Yes. So we have three levels at the bank. We have our branch managers who do the what we call the micro business segment. And then we have our business bankers who do the slightly larger. And then we have our commercial managers that do the largest type of lending. So we have them, each branch has dedicated people for what, like those three segments. So either way, if you went into a branch and talked to a manager and they weren't necessarily in that right segment, they'd get you to the person who would be best suited to help you.
Okay. All right. Perfect. And what else is happening at Fidelity Bank that we need to know about? Anything? How about your new brand, your new office building? When do you think? I know they were saying sometime in June or so. Is that still on track for that opening, or is it going to be a little later, do you think?
No, that is the plan. We plan to fully be moved in by the end of June.
Ooh, baby. Right in time for the 250th birthday of America. What do you think about
exactly.
that,
Exactly.
Woo! That's going to
so
be a
very
big
exciting.
Deal.
They're doing a lot of work over there.
I love that building, Kelly. I think it's magnificent. Mm-hmm. I love the Electric City sign. I think it should be on everything. I love it. Even when Sean and Katie got married, I said, Sean, you have to make sure you get a picture down at the courthouse overlooking with the Electric City sign in the background. And so he did exactly what his mother told him, and they were one of the that's one of the picks, and I just love it. I just love the building. It's beautiful. I can't wait to see everything. And from what Dan tells me, that there's going to be some big multi-purpose, some kind of a big grand area where people can have events and stuff like that. Is that true?
Yes, on the 8th floor there is like a community ballroom basically. So it'll be used for in-house meetings, but they're also going to offer it for free to any nonprofit who would need to host a meeting there.
I think it's great. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And what a way to like walk in. And now which floor is that on, Kelly?
It's on the top floor.
Woohoo! That's going to be
gorgeous. Yes, it is.
Well, this is all good. So Kelly, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you if they need your help.
So I am available. I'm in the downtown Scranton branch of Fidelity Bank, so currently I'm 338 North Washington Ave, but eventually moving to Electric City. And you can go to bank@fidelity.com and see any of our other locations, or call the 800 number that's listed on the website.
There we go. Well, Kel, we thank you, and we are proud of you for your recent, well, not that recent, but it's not too long ago, promotion, and just keep doing good work. As I know, Julian, I know you'll knock them dead, and that's what we're continuing good hopes for you as you keep going. So, Kelly, I'm going to leave you with my line that I couldn't say last night, so I'm going to tell you, whatever you are, be a good one. So says Abe Lincoln, okay?
Yes, thank you, Lori.
You're welcome, honey. And everyone else, thank you for listening to us. As always, we so love that you pay attention to us and that you listen. And we will see you next week. Have a wonderful weekend. Be safe, and please be nice. Bye-bye.